It's 16 June, and this is Thought Press. This is Thought Press, where news and commentary blend, and where you're invited to join in. Our email address is thoughtpress@gmail.com. And you may now call our listener line at 206-33-THINK. That's 206-338-4465. Here's what's going on. The autopsy of Terri Schiavo yielded no evidence of any abuse by her husband. The medical examiner said her brain weighed half that of a normal woman's and that Terri was in fact in a persistent vegetative state.
No trauma was noted on any of the numerous physical exams or radiographs performed on Mrs. Schiavo on the day of, in the days after, or in the months after her initial collapse. Indeed, within 1 hour of her initial hospital admission, she received a radiograph of her cervical spine, which was negative for trauma.
Her brain was atrophied and the vision center of the brain was dead, meaning she was blind at the time of her death. Authorities have canceled a tsunami warning for the west coast of North America, issued after a major earthquake shook the ocean floor off the U.S. state of California. There have been no reports of damage or other injuries from the magnitude 7.0 quake. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake struck late Tuesday, 147 kilometers southwest of the town of Crescent City. In 1964, 11 people lost their lives in Crescent City when a tsunami struck the California coast following an earthquake in Alaska. Meanwhile, seismologists are closely watching earthquake activity in Alaska's Aleutian Islands. The area has been shaken by 7 quakes of magnitude 5.0 or greater since Tuesday. For the last 3 years, the euro has been one of the strongest currencies in the world, in part because of the belief that the underlying political structure of the European Union was strong. However, in the days after French and Dutch voters rejected the Constitution, many analysts began to speculate about the future of the European Union because of the eroding voter support for the new Constitution's one-size-fits-all approach to government. Paul Westfeeling has more.
For the last 3 years, the euro has been one of the strongest currencies in the world, in part because of the belief that the underlying political structure of the European Union was strong. However, in the days after French and Dutch voters rejected the Constitution, many analysts began to speculate about the future of the European Union because of eroding voter support for the new Constitution's one-size-fits-all approach to government. Most analysts say French voters were worried about losing jobs to low-cost labor from other member states, and Dutch voters were said to be concerned about losing influence in an expanded bloc. In Italy, where the economy is now in a recession, some politicians have suggested returning to the lira and dumping the euro. Nonetheless, Alastair Murray, deputy director of the Center for European Reform in London, says the common currency will weather this crisis. France's new prime minister says fighting unemployment, now at more than 10%, will be the top priority of his new government. But he does not say what he will do and whether his plan will follow guidelines from the European Central Bank, which coordinates monetary policy in the eurozone. Economist Alastair Murray says French and Dutch voters are also concerned that their governments are moving too quickly with economic reforms, such as changing rules about the length of the work week.
You have to go into a period of reflection. This is going to cause a lot of hard thinking about why European leaders have become so disconnected from their electorate. Whilst the French and the Dutch may be the ones to turn it down, they're not the only ones who would have turned it down if everybody would have voted.
The European Union is expected to hold a summit next week in Brussels to discuss how to deal with voter rebellion against the Constitution. I'm Paul Westfeeling.
Spanish is quickly becoming a prominent second language in America. We see signs with several languages, and we either quickly adapt or don't adapt to the fact that America is quickly becoming multilingual. Peter Fedinsky has this special report.
When Americans today use the telephone for business, to make airline reservations or check on their banking account, for example, they often must choose the language they wish to speak. For English, callers are asked to press 1,
para español, oprima el 2,
and 2 for Spanish. The choice is a minor inconvenience, which Americans never needed to make until the recent arrival of the Hispanics, whose native Spanish has become widespread in advertising, radio and television broadcasts, and government services.
Increasingly, America does not speak the same language.
Robin Tunkel represents U.S. English, an organization that is lobbying Congress to make English the official language of the United States. Ms. Tunkel believes formal recognition is needed to maintain English as the language that has unified Americans throughout the nation's history.
We're not of the same race, we're not of the same religion, we're not of the same nationality, but we can always speak the same language.
Ms. Tunkel believes Spanish threatens to divide America into two language groups, each conducting business on its own. But demographer Philip Longman of the New America Foundation in Washington rejects such fears. Mr. Longman notes that children of Hispanic immigrants go to English-speaking schools, and many aspire to work in professions such as law or science that require English. He adds that even Hispanic communities as large as Miami and Dade County, Florida, where Cubans alone number 650,000 people, cannot have political influence if their representatives speak only Spanish.
I quickly realized that the town's power structure was almost entirely controlled by Anglos, and that what Hispanics were in positions of power were people who were thoroughly plugged into the rest of American culture and spoke English and whose children spoke English.
Linguists say that Spanish has more vitality than other immigrant languages in the United States because nearby Spanish-speaking countries support a steady stream of new speakers. However, Donna Christian, executive director of the Center for Applied Linguistics in Washington, says Latino immigrants recognize the importance of English for their children.
Parents are very concerned that their children learn English, and often they will resist programs that might help the students maintain their native language because they're afraid that they won't learn English.
Linguists point out that it usually takes two or three generations for an immigrant group to lose its ancestral language. Mr. Longman says the Hispanic birth rate in the United States is lower than in Latin America because immigrants realize the high cost of large families in their new country. Thus, he believes it is unlikely that America will become bilingual. And according to the 2000 census, more than 300 languages are spoken in the United States, making it a multilingual society that speaks English as its common language. I'm Peter Fedinsky.
About 2 weeks ago, the London Times published the infamous leaked letter by Matthew Rycroft, British foreign policy aide, to British Ambassador David Manning. This letter summarized a Tony Blair meeting about the Iraq situation. It was published 8 months prior to the Iraq invasion, but sheds great light on the true reasons for the war. Here's a startling excerpt from the minutes. C reported on his recent talks in Washington. There was a perceptible shift in attitude. Military action was now seen as inevitable. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action, justified by the conjunction of terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. But the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. The NSC had no patience with the UN route and no enthusiasm for publishing material on the Iraq regime's record. There was little discussion in Washington of the aftermath after military action. On May 9th, 89 members of Congress, led by Representative John Conyers, submitted a letter asking President Bush 5 questions about the Downing Street memo. There was no response. If you would like to take action and join thousands of others in asking President Bush what the truth is, please go to our website, thoughtpress.blogspot.com, and click Take Action under today's show notes. You may read the Downing Street memo there or at downingstreetmemo.com. I want to mention a couple new additions to the podcast. You may have noticed a change in the format. This new format is meant to be more direct, so you get the information that's interesting to you, instead of hearing me blab on about something all the time. I also want this to be interactive, so if you have any ideas or things you would like to add to the show, or if you'd like to hear yourself on the show, send us an email to thoughtpress@gmail.com, or you can call our new listener line to leave your audio comments. The number is 206-33-THINK. The email and listener line number is on our website, thoughtpress.blogspot.com, on the right-hand side of the page. I really hope you make use of these, as I want this to be your show that you contribute to. I did receive one comment on the June 15th posting saying, I like the show. We'll keep it coming. Also on thoughtpress.blogspot.com, you'll see a link asking you to support our show with a vote on Podcast Alley. Just click the link and enter your email. It takes less than 30 seconds, and I really do appreciate it. If you truly love Thought Press, there's also a link for donations to help for the work that goes into each show. You've been listening to The Thought Press. If you forget any links mentioned on the show, go to thoughtpress.blogspot.com. There you can leave feedback and get involved. Call our listener line at 206-33-THINK and tell us what you like or don't like. That's 206-338-4465. Our audio is hosted by archive.org and select content is provided by Voice of America. Check out our website and don't forget to drop us a vote at podcastalley.com.